Hey, this is Laura.
And Steven.
And this is our podcast, Midday Musings, where we take our lunch break to talk about the things that are on our mind. Today, we're discussing hell and other versions of the afterlife. Are you into reincarnation, traditional ideas of a Christian afterlife? Do you want to vibe with a flying spaghetti monster? Or have your heart weighed by a fearsome dog-headed god like an Egyptian? We have our favorites, and we'll tell you all about them. Let's get into it. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Laura.
How is your Wednesday?
Oh, I didn't see you there. It's going well. Going pretty well. I'm surprised to see you, but...
But you were the one who turned on the recording equipment.
No, don't tell them. Don't look at the man behind the curtain. You don't know what's going on with him. He's just over here being weird. My Wednesday's going pretty well. It definitely feels like a Wednesday at this point. It's like got that hump day feeling to it.
That hump day feeling.
I'm not sure if that's indicative of it being camel-esque.
It's like when you go across a speed bump and...
Yeah, how about you? How's your Wednesday going?
I could have slept more. I would have enjoyed that immensely.
But you did get a lot of Sims in.
It's true. Sims 4. I made choices. Choices that are questionable.
Yeah.
Really, as all choices are. Yeah, no, I chose video games last night. And this morning, I pay the price.
And because you chose video games, I chose not video games. I chose Hazbin Hotel. It is an adult-themed animated musical set in hell. Like, they are starting a hotel.
Okay, basically. So adult animation is having a moment in the millennial era.
Oh, it is.
I like it a lot. Walt Disney was super duper into surrealism, and worked with Dali actually on a project. But his whole thing was he appreciated the animated art form because it could create things that could not be created in real life.
That's true.
And thus communicate ideas that could not be communicated in live action.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot to be said about that because so many of these tales, that's why I love the animated medium so much, is that it can tell things that literally no other medium can, whether that's animated or CGI. You're watching a story that oftentimes you can't see with regular people in the real world. It's just impossible to do.
Yeah, yeah. The VFX are not that good. Like Rick and Morty could... It maybe could be a live action series in the same way that Doctor Who is a live action series, but there is that campiness quality that comes from having live action creations of fantasy and sci-fi elements, whereas the stylistic quality of the Rick and Morty animation makes incredible leaps of logic and perception and metaphysicality.
Oh yeah.
Possible in a way that's really consumable as a viewer.
Yeah, sometimes.
So I imagine Hazbin Hotel has a hellish quality that could not be replicated in the same way.
Yeah, it does. It does. And it has sort of a musical, magical quality too, because it's light and whimsical and silly while being incredibly dark. And sometimes, like, slightly, they use like a lot of curse words, which I don't always expect with an animated show. Like, I expect it with a show on HBO, but I was like, this is a really adult themed cartoon. No, but like, you couldn't tell this story where you have like the daughter of the devil who is running a hotel and she wants to use it to rehabilitate the souls of hell to try to get them into heaven. There's like angels that are trying to prevent her from doing that. Like trying to do that in a real life setting, it just wouldn't really work because there's a lot of fantastical elements of like the torture of hell or these fantastical musical elements that you see in like animated musicals that you really can't pull off easily in like a physical medium. A few exceptions, though. Schmigadoon did a pretty good job of pulling off some pretty fantastical elements in a live-action musical, so it was really well done, honestly.
Okay, important question. Yeah. How is the sleep these hotel residents are getting?
You know, there's not a lot of hotel residents there yet. One of them is literally like a current porn star, so they're not really getting a lot of sleep. And the other
Wait,
one...
like you have to have a job in the afterlife too?
Well, it's not that they have a job in the afterlife. It's that they like are cursed. They are attached to someone else who is like their afterlife pimp or something. And they have... There's like a demonic bond. You know, you can do a deal with a demon and now you are indentured to work for it. I think that's kind of the situation. So, yeah, like, people still work in the afterlife, which is weird, yeah.
Ah, oh, dude. That, That bums me out.
Yeah, there's a guy working the bar. Like, he's the bartender and he just hangs out, voiced by Keith David.
I mean, like, you have to... Probably purpose is as difficult a question, maybe even more difficult when you approach an endless afterlife, because without an end, what is the meaning? But if you had a job in the afterlife, what do you think you'd start with?
Ooh, I mean, I think it depends on where I ended up, because I feel like depending on your version of the afterlife, your job might not be something you get to decide. It might be something that you are assigned to do, but... Assuming just like general afterlife, what kind of job would I think I would get selected for? I think I would get selected for a talkie related job. I think there would be a lot of talking involved and a lot of peopling involved. If I had my choice, you know what? I think welcoming new souls to the afterlife would be a lot of fun.
Oh, you'd be a greeter?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So like, you put on your little jacket.
I think I would
go to the front.
I think I'd run new soul orientation.
New soul orientation.
Yeah, that's right. New arrival orientation is what I would do.
Okay.
Get them settled. Get them cozy. Or if this is their eternal damnation, prepare them for the next 1,000 years of what's going to come.
Okay.
What about you?
I think that I would like to be responsible for setting up chairs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. From what I understand, there is a dearth of chairs in the afterlife. So on the one hand, you're in control of a resource that is highly valuable. But additionally, you're staffing events, and I think that's fun. I always like to work backstage at events.
Yeah, I've never heard that there's like a dearth of chairs in the afterlife, but I believe you because I've never been there. So.
Oh my gosh, have you not watched the adult animated classic Family Guy end to end?
Oh, do they not? Are they like, there are no chairs in the afterlife?
Yeah, there's a joke about an absence of chairs.
That's funny. They're just like, you got everything you want, but no chairs. So have fun with that.
Yeah, I think a lot about sitting in the afterlife. Mm. Like maybe doing some crisscross applesauce on the floor.
I never think about sitting in the afterlife. I think about it like, I think the afterlife is truly unique to each person. I think it's like everyone has a personal vision of what it would be or could be.
Probably. Okay, so I was raised Mormon, and one of the unique things about Mormonism is that they think you will have your physical body in the afterlife.
Do you get chairs, though?
Well, that's the thing. You would need chairs if you have your physical body. If you were just like a holy spirit, or I guess a regular spirit, you would be unconcerned about sitting, standing, or lying down because you have no physical body. But I had the expectation of a physical body. And that means that I'm concerned about surfaces, rugs, chairs, beds, food. Like, I want to know the snack situation in the afterlife. I also want to know the sleep situation.
No, that's fair. I think of it more like in the afterlife, you can float through things. Like, you exist, but you don't really have a tangible form that can be impacted by things. Like, you can manifest yourself in a physical manner, sort of, but, like, it's not... You're not bound to the constraints of a physical body. Like, you can just sort of float through things or disappear and reappear other places.
So the rest of the afterlife is also formless?
Yeah, that's...
So it's just a bunch of air?
Well, like...
Shapeless?
No.
Indistinct?
It's not shapeless. Like, I think you can interact like how ghosts do in real life. Like, you see them kind of phase through things. I think you can just phase through things in the afterlife, too. But that's just... I don't know. I don't know what happens there. That's just,
are you a ghost in this scenario?
I mean, aren't everyone in the afterlife, aren't they kind of ghosts?
Well, it was my understanding that the afterlife is a separate world. So it's not that you're a ghost because you would be a spirit on Earth. Being a ghost, but a ghost inside ghost world is just a dude.
Well, I guess it's true. So,
right?
So you'd have more of like, everything would be a little more tangible, a little more physical, so you can like interact with things.
Well, as material as you are, right?
I guess that kind of makes sense. I hadn't really thought about it that way though.
Oh, you don't think about the afterlife?
not every day, but when I do, I like to think about things. Do you think about the afterlife a lot?
I don't think about it infrequently.
Mm. What does your version of the afterlife look like?
Well, like I said, I was raised Mormon. So like in the back of my head, there's like, I have a body. So I have sensation and heft. But I don't think I'm getting my own planet, which is a pity. I would like this planet. actually. I'd like to fight Jesus for it.
It's a nice planet.
Yeah.
Earth is a good planet.
Right? It's a really good planet.
I
would
like to fight Jesus for it, although I feel like he might win. He's a good boxer from what I hear.
He's a good boxer.
He's good at the fisticuffs, you know?
People don't know this, but Jewish men box a lot.
Hey, look.
They represented a lot of the boxing contingent in Europe.
What people don't realize, they don't put this together, but carpenters uses a lot of upper body strength.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you, I've worked with some carpenters in the past, and they can throw a punch. They can throw a punch. So I think Jesus, I think he could have been a little boxy. I think he would have made a good pugilist.
Oh, right. Because he had that scene at the temple where there were a bunch of money lenders. And
oh, yeah.
He was like, oh, no.
And he just flips it. Like, I don't think it was a light table. It was probably like a big, fully formed table. And he
yeah, just flips like it's, it over. It's like an ancient Israeli table. So like that's not IKEA.
Right?
There's some heft to the wood being used.
I think Jesus could physically fight a guy and win. So I wouldn't want to come to blows with him. I feel like he'd take me out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that Jesus could fight.
He could throw down. How did we get here? Okay. So here's what I think about the afterlife.
Okay.
I've thought about it some more as I rambled through it a little bit here and there. I think the afterlife is highly individualized. I think for every single person, it's a different thing. It's the afterlife is whatever you expect it to be. Whether you believe that you will go to a good place because you've done good things, I think you'll go to some version of that. If you believe that you did a bunch of bad things and therefore deserve to go to a bad place, regardless of what you actually did, I think you will shape your afterlife into whatever you expect it to be.
So it's like manifest destiny?
It is.
You manifest your afterlife.
But in the afterlife. Destiny. So like no matter how much good stuff you did, if you still feel like you didn't do anything good, you'll still go to like your own personal hell of your own making.
Okay.
Yeah. If you just like aren't able to ever be at peace with yourself, you'll still make your own hell in your afterlife. That's my thought.
Okay. Okay. So if we're asking the question, what would I like my afterlife to be? I would like to reincarnate and roll right back onto Earth.
Ooh, okay.
And get jiggy with it.
Get jiggy.
But I do like to think about different religions' versions of the afterlife. Mm. Like Rosicrucianism, that's your ancient Egyptian idea of the afterlife. So,
but what is that like?
It's actually not super dissimilar to going back on Earth. You hang out in an after realm where you still have to have food and you still have to have like objects for your household and like combs, but you're hanging around with a lot of like half animal gods and you had to like make sure that your heart had the lightness of a feather to get in.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Because Anubis weighs your heart.
Yeah. And you go out fishing and boating and living your best life. It's like being on Earth again, really, but with extra characters. So I like that. I always enjoyed Pastafarianism too.
Oh,
with the flying spaghetti monster. So I think that's volcanoes and blackjack and pasta. Those are the key elements I remember from Pastafarianism.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so regarding the Egyptian afterlife, I have some complaints about the Anubis heart weighing system, and I'll tell you what.
Okay.
So first of all, a human heart, we know it weighs more than a feather.
Well, yeah, but it's not being weighed for its weight. It's being weighed for its moral weight with a special scale.
But how can you measure like your moral weight? Like what is that?
Well, if you have no heaviness in your heart, no guilt or anything else, then your heart is light as a feather. And what I always really liked about this is that basically if you had no regrets, even if you were an awful person, just like fly right through there. Like it is the embodiment of no regrets.
Oh, okay. So it actually is like a manifestation of the afterlife scenario that I was saying, where if you feel like you deserve to go to heaven, you'll go to a heaven. If you feel like you deserve to go to a hell type scenario, you'll go to one.
Well, if you think you deserve something bad, you'll just be eaten. Like your soul will be consumed by the lesser gods.
No.
So you won't get an afterlife. But I mean, I guess that sort of solves both of your problems. It's an end to your negative self-regard and also one less person that you have to get an apartment for
the
afterlife.
That's true. Well, like, then that brings up another question. Like, if there is an afterlife, I mean, well, some people think there isn't one at all, right? Like,
Oh,
when you
yeah.
die,
So it's
there's nothing
salvation
else, right?
religions who are like hawking the afterlife.
But even the salvation religions say that in some scenarios, you still don't get an afterlife. You die, you have a temporary afterlife, and then if you fail the Anubis test, you don't have an afterlife. But the point is, there are some scenarios where even after you die and have an afterlife, where that afterlife could just end completely as well. So, like, what do you think about that?
Well, what I think about that is that it's indicative of the trend in the late 20th century and early 21st to bureaucratize the afterlife. Like a lot of the movies we have post 1990 are talking about the afterlife as like angels being the bureaucratic elements of like God's the CEO of the afterlife, right? And there's a chain of command. Like the higher angels and the lesser angels, and like the drudgery angels. And when you die, you have to go through the administrata of the afterlife. So that really mirrors our experience of like the corporatized, increasingly bureaucratic commercial world we find ourselves in.
Sure.
So I think that's a fun reflection of, that's a fun moment of art imitating life. And I think that things have to end to have meaning. But I would happily never end and be meaningless.
Yeah. I
Pardon me,
know.
I caught a frog.
Oh, you're fine. That frog is a lucky guy. It
That is one lucky throat
is.
frog.
One lucky throat frog. I know if you had your druthers, you would spend the rest of eternity on the planet Earth, on
Oh,
this
yeah.
one,
Actually, it
right?
would be ideal if I could be me, just living forever, like a vampire or an elder god, or like I'll take a couple of extra tentacles
So,
if.
like a vampire, isn't that kind of, aren't they kind of experiencing their afterlife but on Earth? Because technically they're dead, right?
I mean,
So,
that would be the best.
yeah. Because like it is an afterlife because physically they're dead. They have to feast on the living to survive. That's very zombie, very like dead creature kind of impulse. So I think they're just spending their afterlife on Earth.
Don't they go to hell though?
When they die?
Yeah.
I think they do. Like eventually when they go, but it's still like an afterlife that they're, because it's after human life. Or after like their life as like a creature of the day of this earth. They're now like an immortal undead creature.
I don't know. I think as a vampire, you have the opportunity to live your best unlife. It's an interlifenum, an intervivarium
Oh, so it's kind of like
between life and death.
it's kind of like
Oh, purgatory?
it's kind of like purgatory. But
Dude,
on Earth,
I
like
would
zombies
actually.
and vampires, they're like in an Earth purgatory kind of situation.
Yeah, that's what every piece of media seems to be telling you,
Yeah.
because it's a little bit dark. But I would like to briefly discuss purgatory, which is a Catholic invention and also the first level of hell in the Catholic pantheon,
Yeah.
pulled directly from Dante's Inferno, which is the realm of virtuous pagans, where you can hang out with like,
Purgatory?
no, it's not purgatory. Purgatory exists for people who are born during the Christian era and can reach heaven if they work at it. The first level of hell is devoted to people who lived before Christ and thus
Oh.
could not be saved. But it's not bad. They're just milling around in sort of an antechamber.
Right, like righteous pagans or
Yeah,
whatever,
virtuous
like you said.
pagans.
Virtuous pagans, okay.
So that's like your Socrateses, your great men of the ancient world, and that seems like a vibe.
You know, that doesn't sound too bad. That doesn't
Yeah.
sound too bad.
I actually think that they would be a really interesting study in what a great man of that civilization looked like, but I digress.
For some reason, I'm reminded of Kenneth Parcell's song in 30 Rock, where he's like, "Oh, everybody born before Jesus is in hell."
Yeah. No, but like it's one of the deep theological questions, right? Because if salvation Christianity is you must accept Jesus Christ to enter heaven, a world before Jesus Christ is filled with people who couldn't.
Yeah.
And where do they go?
Right?
Like, What is their moral quality? They just got born at the wrong time. Maybe that's the great lesson, which is there's chaos and opportunity, and sometimes you're just born before Jesus, and that sucks.
And like the question is, can they ever get out? Can they ever get out of that particular like first level of hell? Or can you go deeper? Like if you're in that first level and
you can always go deeper.
But you can't go up. That's the thing. Right?
Well, the thing is you have to go down to the bottom to start going up.
Oh, is that a Dante's Inferno reference?
Yeah, like that's Dante Alighieri's perspective. It's long travel. Maybe worthwhile. I don't know if you're into it. Or you could just hang out and talk to philosophers.
Right? Oh.
The afterlife is yours to choose.
Oh, dude, that's why I love watching this Hazbin Hotel show, because it explores that very question of like, if you have died and gone to a hell region because you did bad things, can you ever leave? And the people who run this hotel are trying to rehabilitate souls so they can leave, so they can go to heaven. And all the angels are like, huh, never gonna happen. You suck. The weird thing is the angels actually kind of seem more like demons in this particular show, which is interesting. Like everyone kind of seems like demons.
They all seem kind of bad. According to Christian theology, all demons were angels.
Yeah.
They're the same material. Right? They just have different hats now.
they work in different departments is what it is.
Yeah. To go back to the bureaucratizing of the afterlife, yeah. They just work in different departments.
Yeah, and the reason why I brought up the, like, can you die in the afterlife is that's actually a plot point in the show where the angels, I guess every 1 year, they come down to hell and they just kill a bunch of souls, like a bunch of souls who are now demons, and, like, permanently get rid of them. And, like, that's a thing that happens. And
I'm that like, is aggressive stack ranking.
It is. That's so bad. It's so bad. And, like, yeah. Yeah. But again, yeah. Like you said, it's inspired by corporate America. Like we have this bureaucracy, we have these standards, we have even purgatory is like an administrative holding room where you have to hang out until you can get sorted into the right place. So it's art imitating life again.
Yeah.
Aggressive stack ranking. That's one way to put it. Oh, man.
Anyway, to answer your question, reincarnate. Mm. Till I can't do it anymore.
Ooh, one last question for you on the reincarnation part. What would you reincarnate as if you had your choice?
Human. How dare you?
Not anything else? Not a cat?
No. Have you seen what humans can do here?
Well, yeah, of course.
The vast, unchecked power.
But also what humans have to do.
I mean, if I was a cat, I'd have to do things too.
That's true.
But I wouldn't have any thumbs. It would take so long.
But you could jump so high.
I could jump pretty high if I worked at it as a human.
That's true.
I've seen gym videos.
Mm. Yeah, I've seen some trusseurs, some parkour experts jumping pretty darn high. I'm not going to lie. So that's fair. If you worked at it, even as a human, you could jump pretty high. I respect that choice because honestly, you have the most options as a human, even though you also have the most responsibilities as a human, which I would like to take a break from. I'd like to put a little pause on those responsibilities. Just like take a little 6 months and be like, nah, I'd like to be a cat, but only for 6 months. I'd like to be able to go back to being a human after that. But I don't think that's how it works.
No, that's certainly not how reincarnation works.
No, like, nope, I'm done. Well, what if you're a cat for 6 months and then you're like, well,
you do what you do.
You do what you do. You know, you get in a fight with a big dog and then you're gone, and then you come back as a human again. That could be fun.
That's a gamble, but right? That's a thing. All right, well, listeners, what afterlife would you choose if given the choice?
Yes.
Let us know in the comments. Have a great one.
All right, folks, we'll catch you next time. Have a great lunch break.
Bye.
Bye. This has been Steven.
And Laura.
Thanks for tuning into Midday Musings, the podcast where we talk about all the things on our mind. Be sure to follow us on Spotify and jump into the conversation in our polls and Q&As. We would love to hear from you. Catch you next lunch break.